Welcome back, everybody. As we always like to have you do, is check us out on Facebook and where else, Ava?
We should have Rob answer that.
Oh, no.
It's thevalleyoutdoors.com. Come on.
That is correct. I was trying to throw you off by a little bit of a delay there.
Got to give Rob a hard time.
The draw play.
Yeah.
I can't give Rob a hard time. He called me up and was like, hey, what's going on down in Red Wing? And I was happy to answer. And May, if he needs me, maybe on the show, his show on Sunday. So.
Well, our listeners here in Red Wing get a lot of Rob.
Which
on
is good.
Saturday. Yes.
Yeah. No complaints about that.
You really can't have too much Rob.
No, oh, you can't. Wait.
See, now you.
Weekend Rob.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, no, I called Eric for a radio guest, and before I knew it, I was getting...
I get wrangled him in for 8 minutes on our show.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
Isn't it great?
Exactly.
I gotta love it. You know, and the funny part about this whole thing, Rob, is, you know, you and I were chatting about what's going on with the river, because we've had such a, literally a pendulum swing from open water, nothing in sight, to they're shutting the reactors down. Everybody thought they were going to get by with the Prairie Island plant nuclear reactors they were shutting down. And usually them having them open keeps the channel open so people can fish year-round in Red Wing and have just amazing luck and launch out of Everett's Resort. However, they had both power generators, the generating plants, were down for service, whatever they were doing with it. And, of course, that changed the temp. And the indication from the power guys was that, well, it really only changes the water temperature half a degree. I beg to differ, but it's neither here nor there. That river had almost 10 inches of ice on it, which hasn't happened in 20 years. And, of course, everybody was kind of curious, you and me, and, of course, this statewide, everybody wants to go someplace where it's, hey, let's put the boat in the water. And, we had Pepin open all the way till the 11th of January.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, pretty crazy when it comes down to it, Rob. But, we'll...
Yeah. And there's some inland lakes that the DNR, some fisheries folks like in the Waterville area, were telling me it's not out of the realm of possibility. They could be open before the inland waters walleye season closes February 25th. Now, I mean that's unprecedented. Now, we'll see if that actually happens.
It's going to be, I will say it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. Now, I know coming up next week, you've got some, we got some colder overnights, so it's going to be back to some balanced freeze and thaw. Who knows? Mother Nature is none too shy for throwing us curveballs. That's for sure.
No, and another element that I wrote about in my column is the amount of maple syrup tapping that's going on, the trees that are already being tapped.
Is that not crazy?
Yeah, it's totally bizarre. I mean, and it's not just in southern Minnesota. I was talking to folks all the way up to Lake Mille Lacs who were tapping maple trees and getting a lot of sap this past week. That's, again, like, it's like three, four weeks earlier than all these folks told me their previous records.
That's
never
crazy.
Seen it before.
Well, you're not going to have to worry about predicting cars through the ice. You know, that usual fundraiser deal.
Yeah.
Everybody lost right away.
Yeah, folks got the message on that one. Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah.
The only way they can get it out there now is to launch it out there with a catapult or something and see how long it stays on surface. Well, so normally for maple syrup, what is the actual time frame when people start actually going out? I mean, is it? I mean, I'd say
late February and March is probably prime time. I mean, I've done it myself. I mean, there's been years when I've been tapping into April. But I mean, there were people tapping in January. I mean, I talked to guys that were doing it January 29th, January 30th, that time frame. I mean, it's just, like I say, unprecedented is the word I've been using.
I wonder what that effect is going to have on the seasonality of a lot of the growth, tree growth, all that aspect is going to be very, very unique. Well, then it also comes in, Rob, comes into what's going to happen with the spawn. It usually happens at daylight. It's, that's a big factor. But when everything else is going on.
If the ice is off, yeah, absolutely. You know, you throw the effects of the drought, the multi-year drought we've got cooking on top of the trees and the lakes and the early ice out. Potentially, it's all pretty bizarre.
And it's and it's been one of those years where it's an up and down. We've had extreme cold, and everybody's excited to go out.
Yeah.
Then they go out, then they get stranded, then they got to get rescued.
Yeah.
Then it's okay. Then it's going to be okay. Got to be careful. I mean, it's like I think we've had three early ice seasons for these fishing guys to throw themselves into harm's way. And they did a great job of it in a lot of cases. I don't – strange to me. I don't quite understand it. But speaking of strange stories, Rob, you and I chat a little bit about one of those strange stories. Some people just don't – they got too much time on their hands. And when it comes to – it was a legislature, right? Was it a legislator or senator?
Yeah,
Florida.
Down in Florida. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, we got some legislator who's insisting that they need to pass a bill to loosen regulations on the killing of wildlife so that people can defend themselves against what he refers to as crack bears. This is the Guardian reporting this, but that apparently, you know, he's suggesting there's all sorts of bears running around on crack, out of control, and people need to be able to defend themselves against these bears. Where do you start, man? Like you say, some of these legislators got too much time on their hands. I mean, there's all sorts of means to take care of problem wildlife. They got a hunting season down there, too. You got that on one extreme. Then out in Colorado, you got them trying to pass ballot initiatives to ban mountain lion hunting. When, you know, the mountain lion population out there is doing great. It's just, to your point, I really wish the extremes could just get together and work on real problems.
Well, I know the current administration's also looking at putting a ban on wolf hunting as well, and you've got a mixed camp
state?
On that.
You talking Minnesota here?
No, well, nationally. Mm-hmm. I just saw that. I was reading that on the one of the news outlets, and I thought that was kind of like, that's interesting. So let's – and you followed it. Go ahead.
Well, the feds this past week say that they are developing a national wolf plan that they're going to be working on by the end of the year. They also did say that they were not going to eliminate any of the hunts or implement new protections out west. You know, there's a fair amount of wolf hunting in the west. So, in terms of where we've been with wolf management on the federal level, it actually seems we're making some baby steps, which is, believe it or not, something
unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I was going to be talking to one of friends of the show, Tom Nelson, out in ESPN Radio, out in Everett, Washington area. We'll get him on in a week or so here. But there's a big controversy going on out west with the introduction of grizzly bear into an area that has not had grizzlies for a long time. And obviously towns have grown up in these areas where they had previously not been, and they're wanting to introduce grizzlies in a national program. And there's some pretty significant issues going on with that out there. And
I had not heard about any, you know, introducing them. Now, certainly the grizzly population in the Northern Rockies is doing pretty well. And it's growing and it's expanding, and they're seeing grizzlies in new places.
This was a new introduction, and I will get you the scoop on it. But the guys were actually on Jesse Waters on Fox, the two friends of mine. They're directly associated with what's going on that front, and it was shocking when I started looking at the story, and yeah, pretty crazy as far as that goes. I was very surprised. But it was going to be an introduction in that Washington area, in an area where there has not been much population of the grizzly at all. So
I mean, you don't have to get too far north. I mean, there's a lot of grizzlies in BC probably that sometimes make their way down into Washington. I can't imagine This must be some bizarre proposal to introduce them.
I
can't imagine that.
That's what they were all thinking, because it's a heavy recreational area, and that's the controversy. And I spent quite a bit of time out there in a boat with those guys, and we went pretty in-depth on it, and I wanted to get them to have a little conversation on it, so we're going to be doing that pretty quick. What else you got, Rob? And what else is coming up in the big stuff?
Well, you know, we should point out that the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, their annual national rendezvous is coming up in April, and for the first time ever, it's not going to be in the Intermountain West. It's going to be here in Minnesota, April 18th to 20th. We broke that at Outdoor News, that story late last summer, early last fall, and they said it was going to be for the first time ever east of the Mississippi River, and the Minnesota State Fairgrounds was going to host it. Well, we found out last week Minnesota's still going to host it, but not the fairgrounds. It's going to be east. It's going to be west of the Mississippi River now at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Same date, April 18th to 20th. Great organization that I've promoted a lot, and I've been to their national rendezvous out in Missoula a couple times. Good bunch of guys, and it's great that it's going to be here, but I just want everybody to know it's going to be at the convention center, not the state fairgrounds.
That's kind of cool. I think it would be a bigger venue, I think, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That's kind of cool.
Yep. And it's just to be clear, the reason it's leaving the fairgrounds is because apparently the fairgrounds does not want events there anymore with knives or firearms. And so the BHA decided that's not compatible. And I'm not sure what happened there. I mean, I thought for many years the fairgrounds hosted, you know, a lot. The Deer and Turkey Classic. Right?
Exactly right.
There.
Yep.
That's at Canterbury now. But there have been other events. I think there have been like firearms, you know, trading deals sort of thing.
Yep, absolutely.
Something changed there, I guess, at the fairgrounds. So.
Well, there's a big event coming up, too, at Theater Worth Park. It's the Stifle Loppet Cup. And it is a World Cup event, World Cup cross-country event that has not been held in ever in Minnesota, at least not in recent history. And Jesse Diggins is going to be involved with it, of course, all the World Cup people. So it's going to be the 17th, 18th, and 19th. So pretty
next
doggone.
Weekend, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm super excited for it. I got the press pass all ready to rock and roll, and I think I'm going to wander down there and see what I can who I can talk to and what I can find out. But pretty cool event.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Even with the low snow scenario, I believe they're going to have some guns out there blazing away next week with the cold temperatures and try and get some get some ground laid for that one. But, fun.
I know they made snow in advance for that. They had a pretty good track. I think just rain this past week didn't help. But, yeah, if it gets cold, maybe they can make some new snow. And
it should be good. Well, Rob, that's a wrap. You got anything else for us?
Oh, wow. I think that's about it.
There is a lot going on, but it's tough to select because you've got a ton of different stories going on. Again, Rob Driesline with the Outdoor News. Be sure to check that out. Get a subscription because you can get the online digital version. I've got one myself. It's fantastic. And feel free to check that out, Rob. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Outdoornews.com. Take care, Eric.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. And we're going to be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
That was always kind of fun to have Rob on.
He's such a chill guy.
He's totally laid back.
I wish I was that chill.
You're not?
No. No.
Okay, so here's the best part about this. On air, you're just total chill. And then, of course, right up to getting on the air, you're running 400 miles an hour.
Always.
Like, what?
I always have such a stacked schedule, if you know what I mean. Go, go, go all the time.
Trust me. I mean, you know
Snippity
my situation.
Snap.
It's just right up to showtime. It's like, all right, prepping stories and getting that ready, and then I got to go back and leave, get to this. I'm going to go check out what the story is in the lake right now. I'm going to see if there's any visible open water when I get done with the show.
I don't think so, but it might. It might.
Oh, you're hedging your bet, aren't you?
With the wind, I'm not so sure anymore. I'm just not positive. I didn't look.
That's what it is. I didn't look.
I didn't look.
I didn't look. I didn't look. Well, a cool story that we always like to hit on at this time of year is the Minnesota Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame has the class of 2024 they've announced. And there's some pretty big names that some of you should know, I would say. First on the list, not by any particular order, is Scott Bonema. Scott Bonema's had a degree in non-destructive testing from Hutchinson College. He went on to California where he caught on to fishing, and he started competing with bass fishing for a number of years, many, many years. Came back to Minnesota in 1989. He's been involved with the Dick Hiley's St. Jude Bass Classic, and they have raised a ton of money in 25 years, over $5.8 million for Children's Research Hospital. And he's part of the Mille Lacs Monmouth Alliance, as well as several other high-end bass tournaments that have sprouted up in the last couple of years. Tom Zinenko, big one there. He's started to go with the Sportsman's Journal, shown in 43 markets in the 80s. A lot of videos and educational videos from him. Authored 4 books and has done a ton of seminars. He also helped sell products at Vexilar, if you're familiar with the Flasher. That's a big deal. Matt Straw, he's a communicator. He's worked for In Fisherman magazine. Nancy Kep, friend of mine, had talked to her many, many times at tournaments. If you're familiar with Marv Kep as a relation at the bait, etc. Fishing for Life, founded by Tom Goodrich, coming up. He's got that. Ice Team, they're also on that. And Wayzata Bait and Tackle. They also made the Minnesota Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame inductees. They're 2024.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, kind of cool stuff.
Congratulations to those.
Yeah.
Well-deserving people. When are you going to get on the ballot?
Oh, I'm ballot free, I think.
Come on, Eric.
You know.
Would you contribute more, please?
I don't
get on the ballot. Do whatever it takes.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Hey, but what I do have is the fact that you guys joined us. We can't thank you enough for that. I appreciate that. For Don, Ava, and myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks for joining us. Join us next week. It'll be fantastic, I guarantee it. See you. Have a great weekend.